What's it all for?
Various artists.
Currently showing at Michael Litt Gallery is a restaging of Julian Dashba's mid-career survey exhibition, Midwestern Unlike You and Me, which originally toured the American Midwest in 2005 and 6. Curated by Christopher Cook and David Raskin, the exhibition was and is the first and only time a survey exhibition of a New Zealand artist has toured the United States. Dashba was regarded as one of Aotearoa's most well-known contemporary artists. Being a primarily conceptually based artist, his work has often been described as being intertwined with this dialogue with other artists and art history, both internationally and locally, placing Aotearoa's geographical positioning at the centre of his practice as he explored these ideas of international styles, visual cultures, and repositioning the art world's institutional framework through his varied materiality. Marking 20 years since a significant moment in Dashba's career, Midwestern Unlike You and Me at Michael Litt brings together around 50 works and objects, many of which have not been seen publicly since the exhibition's American tour. I had a corridor with co-director of Michael Litt, Andrew Thomas, about the show and Dashba's life and practice more generally.
Julian was an artist who was born in Auckland, born in 1960 on a leap day. So, you know, perhaps he was special right from the start. He started at Elam and he sort of became known for making these expressionist paintings in the mid to late 1980s. And these paintings sort of appeared very much of their time, and they were, but they were also underpinned by this kind of conceptual logic. And then moving into the 90s, that concept-based approach to making art sort of ramped up a bit for him, and the work started to take on more of a refined, minimal aesthetic. And he worked with a variety of mediums, from painting, sculpture, photography, video, and sound. And, yeah, the work really encouraged a kind of mindful or cognitive art experience. But Julian was also very keen on making sure that the work was good to look at and could equally be enjoyed on that level. He sadly passed away too young, 2009. He was in his late 40s. That's a little brief intro to Julian's work.
Currently showing at Michael Litt is a restaging of Dashba's mid-career survey exhibition, Midwestern Unlike You and Me, which, curated by Christopher Cook and David Raskin, originally toured the American Midwest in 2005 and 6. The exhibition was quite significant in the sense that it was the first and possibly only time a survey of a New Zealand artist has toured the States. And I guess to introduce the show, would you like to begin by speaking a little to the history behind the exhibition and what prompted a restaging of it at Michael Litt 20 or so years later?
Yeah, well, the show sort of came about through a meeting with curator David Raskin. And when Julian had a residency and an exhibition in Martha in 2001, and David and Julian met and they began talking about the work, and I guess one thing led to another and ended with, or culminated with, this show. So, as you say, opened in Sioux City, Iowa in 2005, and then travelled to museums in Nebraska and in Kansas. And I think to this day it is the only kind of travelling survey show of work by New Zealand artists in an American museum. And it was a survey that covered 25 years worth of Julian's work at that point. So it was a kind of large and significant show. And it was an exhibition, of course, that Julian took very seriously. There's a great catalogue. It has a really good interview in it. And in terms of why we have restaged it now, I think it's been an idea that has been sort of bubbling away for a little while. We've worked with Julian for some time now at the gallery, and I think when you work with an artist estate, the role of the gallery is perhaps a little different to when you're working with living artists. It's kind of less about supporting the production of new work. It's a little bit more about legacy. And we've done various things over the years with Julian's work. We've made exhibitions that focus on particular moments. We've put his work in conversation with other artists. But, yeah, it has sort of been an idea that it might be possible to recreate this show. Yeah, the fact that it's kind of the 20th anniversary made it feel like it was something that we should look into a bit more seriously. And in doing that, it kind of seemed like it would be possible to bring the majority of these works back together.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear a little bit more, I guess, about how you went from we should restage the show to actually doing that. in practice, because in surveying his practice, the show does feature around 50 works and objects of his career, some of which haven't been exhibited since 2006. Are you able to speak to the process of acquiring works and how you went about restaging the show in the space at Michael Lett?
Yeah, well, the catalogue for the original show has a very kind of handily has a list of all of the works that were included in the show in the back. So that was really the starting point. And then from there, we sort of looked at what needed to come from where. And there are some works in the show that have been borrowed from public and private collections, but a lot of the work also comes from the estate. And I mean, I should say that bringing these works back together would not be possible without the kind of very careful and meticulous work that Marie Shannon had done over the years with Julian's estate. So that kind of made it actually relatively easy. And we have made some changes to the gallery. It's a bigger show perhaps than we might normally present in this space, so we've kind of expanded the gallery a little bit into a space that we don't always use for exhibitions, and then another space upstairs as well. We've built another wall in the space to kind of accommodate some of the work. So yeah, it feels like a very nice way to start our program for the year.
Julian Dashba's practice manifested itself in many different forms, exploring his subject matter through abstraction, paintings, audio, sculpture, moving images and more, which can particularly be seen in this show. Are you able to speak to these various uses of material in the show and how materiality was approached by Dashba?
Yeah, there are a variety of materials in the show. I think that the subject of Julian's work was art and the art world, and that is the source for a lot of the material. I think that he did very kind of easily move between making paintings and photographs and these sound works, but they are all underpinned by this kind of logic that runs through them all. And I think there are instances where he sort of stumbled on the use of these materials almost by accident. The slide works, perhaps, is an example of that. I don't think he set out to make work using slides as a material. I think through the natural kind of like day-to-day process of being an artist, those works came about quite naturally. I mean, this is, you know, we're going back to the days where artists would document their work using slides, and they would use those slides to send to dealers who would then perhaps, you know, subsequently show them to collectors, but they'd also be sent to curators, to various people who were interested in the work. So you had sort of multiple copies of these slides, and he one day got some slides back from the photographer and looked at the kind of sheet of slides and just, you know, it's almost like a light bulb moment, perhaps realised this is the work. So his choice and use of materials come from the art world, some perhaps more consciously than others, but I think Julian really considered, you know, like the whole art supply store as a kind of world of opportunity.
Quite meta in a way.
Yeah, perhaps. There's also this interest in music, which kind of runs through the work, and the drumhead works, you know, the drumheads are not something that come from an art supply store, but I think that music became an interesting analogy for him for a number of different reasons. And he started making drumheads in the early 90s and made them through until the kind of mid-2000s on and off, so for a period of around 15 years.
I want to, I guess, come back again to the original touring exhibition. What stood out to me is that in an advertisement for the show in Sioux City Art Centre and Art Forum in 2005, Dashba had asked that instead of a formal opening of the show, that people were requested to spend the 2 hours that they might have spent at an opening in the pursuit of intimacy with a close friend or loved one, dedicating themselves to developing deeper communication, vulnerability, openness and conscious nurturing of that relationship. What can be said about the way that Dashba approached art and its surrounding community culture differently, or how he maybe challenged these frameworks?
Yeah, that's is a very beautiful thing. It's something that he first did for a show at Test Strip, an artist-run space here in Auckland. And I think maybe more than a challenge, Julian embraced the conventions of the art world and he used them for his own purposes. I think that particular pursuit of intimacy. Yeah, look, I think in many different ways, Julian was a great connector of people. And he, I think there is something about that work and that sentiment that perhaps allowed people to participate in the exhibition in Sioux City and the exhibition at Testra from locations that were kind of far beyond the kind of specificity of the audience and where the show was located. And I think that idea of connectivity and of being kind of from a certain place but allowing the work to have an audience that is much bigger than that was always such a big part of Julian's work.
I guess off the back of that, how do you kind of see these grounding ideas of his practice sitting within the context of today? Do you think that they can be considered in a similar way to 20 years ago, or do you feel like time has maybe shifted our interpretation of them?
That's a good question. I think there are things that remain the same, and I think there are things that are different. I think that the ideas that Julian was kind of thinking about in terms of New Zealand's relative geographic isolation from art world centres still exists, and I think it is still a challenge for artists to be from here and to have a career that exists outside of this part of the world, but also maintain a connection to home. But I think that kind of, yeah, conversely, I think that New Zealand is perhaps less marginalised than it was. I mean, for example, one of the works in the show is Julian's Art Forum pieces, where he placed his own work into Art Forum magazine, and then as a sort of travelling exhibition, if you like, and then in a subsequent issue followed that up with a review of that show. And I think this was in the early 1990s, and at that time I think he felt that as being an artist from New Zealand, the only way to get that kind of attention from a magazine like that was essentially to pay for it and make it happen himself. But now Art Forum does review exhibitions that happen in New Zealand by New Zealand artists, and I think that is a kind of big shift. I think that, you know, New Zealand artists winning the Golden Lion at Venice is something that perhaps Julian might not have predicted, but I think would be incredibly proud of. So I think that, yeah, there are things that have changed, but I think there are things about the work that are also still very relevant. And I think 20 years on from the show in Sioux City, there hasn't been a retrospective survey of his work in an institution here in New Zealand. And I think for that reason, there is perhaps a younger generation here who are aware of Julian's work but don't quite have all the pieces of the puzzle. And yeah, perhaps restaging the show as a way to kind of start putting those pieces together to a certain extent for a younger audience. But I do hope that task is kind of picked up in a big way by an institution here in New Zealand. The exhibition closes on the 7th of March. The weekend before that, Saturday the 28th of February, Christina Barton is going to give a talk in the gallery where she discusses Future Call, a great work of Julian. I would encourage people to come to that if they are able to. And being the 28th of February, that is also a day where we are going to celebrate Julian's birthday, which of course was on a leap day, so it would be on the 29th if it was a leap year. But yeah, I think that will be a nice day in the gallery. Celebrate the show, celebrate Julian, hear from Tina, who did work with Julian a lot over the years and knows the practice very well.
That was co-director of Michael Lett Gallery, Andrew Thomas, speaking to me about Julian Dashba's Midwestern Unlike You and Me. The exhibition is on at Michael Lett until the 7th of March.